The Tampa Bay Buccaneers no longer are the laughing stock of professional football. After 27 years of mostly losing seasons, the Bucs are NFL champions. They beat the Oakland Raiders last night 48-21 in the Super Bowl. The favored Raiders went into the game with the league's top-ranked offense. NPR's Tom Goldman reports the Raiders and their confident fans left San Diego shell-shocked.
The Super Bowl, in a security-conscious nation, seems more like the Prohibition Bowl.
Please remember that only very small purses or bags may be carried into Qualcomm Stadium today. Most items will be prohibited, including backpacks, coolers, bottles, cans, strollers, banners, umbrellas, whistles, or other noisemakers, balloons, fireworks, or laser devices. Thanks for coming, and enjoy the game.
Oh, sure thing. At least they let cell phones in, which gave Oakland fan Mike Vasquez the chance to share with me a little pregame long-distance Raiders karma from his lifelong pal.
Ed, hey, dude, let me call you back. I'm being interviewed right now. Okay, wait. Hold on a second. I got the microphone on. Here's my buddy up in Fresno, Ed St. Louis.
If only the Oakland fans at the game were that enthusiastic. But no, most of the screaming in San Diego was by the people wearing Tampa Bay red. By the time Tampa Bay quarterback Brad Johnson threw his second touchdown pass to wide receiver Keenan McCardell, the game was over in the third quarter. Unfortunately, Super Bowl history was repeating itself. Yet another championship game rout was underway. Going into this game, it was reasonable to expect a good contest, even a great one. The Raiders were ranked number one in offense, the Bucs number one in defense. And the winner is defense, by a long shot. Tampa Bay's relentless and powerful and speedy defenders made Oakland's offensive stars look bad. Raiders quarterback Rich Gannon, the NFL's most valuable player this year, was intercepted 5 times. 3 were run back for touchdowns. He called it a nightmarish performance. Oakland running back John Ritchie concurred.
We knew they were a great team and that their defense was best in the league. But we felt as though we could match up well and mix it up a little bit with the run and the pass.
And the Raiders couldn't because, says monstrous, outspoken Tampa Bay defensive lineman Warren Sapp, the Buccaneers just weren't going to let Oakland do anything.
Got it going real fast and got it going early and got it going often. And once we dig that hole, we're going to drag you in and put the dirt on top of it.
Sapp and several other giddy, hyped-up teammates seemed as if they'd been drinking Jolt Cola all night. Fellow defensive lineman Simeon Rice proclaimed to all those shocked by Tampa Bay's dominance of the favored Raiders, this is just the start.
I said this prior to this, and I'm going to say it now. I'm going to make this statement. They were here as just a part of our story. We write in the book, and we wrote a book called World Champions.
It's a book, many say, inspired by a movie, the horror flick Child's Play. In case you missed it, the film starred an evil doll named Chucky, which is the nickname of Tampa Bay's sneering, in-your-face head coach, John Gruden. This Super Bowl was an affirmation of Tampa's high-stakes pursuit of Gruden. He left Oakland last year after the Buccaneers gave up 4 draft picks and $8 million to bring the coach to Florida. Now the 39-year-old Gruden is the youngest coach to win the Super Bowl, a title he was never able to win with the Raiders. For Oakland, a horror flick indeed. Chucky got the last sneer. Tom Goldman, NPR News, San Diego.
Serena Williams and Andre Agassi got the tennis season off to a good start with victories at the Australian Open. Commentator John Feinstein joins me now. Good morning, John.
Morning, Bob.
What was more impressive, the Serena slam or the aging Agassi winning another major title?
That's really a good question because what each did was remarkable. For Serena Williams to win her 4th straight major title, beating her big sister in the final for the 4th straight time, is extraordinary, unique. Very few players have held all 4 titles at once in the history of tennis. But to overcome the emotions involved in playing and beating your big sister makes it that much more amazing that she was able to pull it off. On the other hand, Agassi is the oldest man to win a major title in 31 years, dating back to Ken Rosewall in 1972, and he's put together an incredible late career run. 5 years ago, He was ranked 141st in the world. It looked like he was done at the age of 28 with three major titles, which was going to be really a disappointing career for someone with his potential. But he's won five majors since then, and he was absolutely dominant throughout this tournament, winning the final in a little more than an hour and only losing four games to Reyna Schüttler.
Person I wonder about is Venus Williams. Now, you know, you're Venus, you're thinking, I'm 22 years old, I'm the peak of my career, I'm the best in the world at what I do, except for one person, that person is my sister.
Right. You're second in the world, but also second in your own family. And that can be hard to deal with. And Venus has talked about that. She's been the star throughout, the big sister, the one who did things first. And now Serena has clearly surpassed her in the last year. And with all the outside interests that both Williams sisters had, they play less tennis than any great champions of probably the last 40 years because they're interested in other things. You would wonder if at 22 Venus might go off and start doing other things. She says no, that this is going to make her more determined, that she wants to catch and pass her sister again. And that's the scary thing, Bob, to think that both these young women at 22 and 21 might still have it in them to get better.
What's next for Agassi?
Well, first and foremost, in my mind, the French Open, where he's apparently going to play mixed doubles with his wife, Steffi Graf. They made a deal before the Australian Open that if Agassi won, she would come out of retirement, and this is 15 months after having their first child, and play mixed doubles with him in the French Open. And if she does that, that will certainly be something to watch. But in the meantime, Agassi, who turns 33 in April, right now looks to me like the best player in the world, capable of winning more major titles before the year is over.
Speaking of mixed doubles, how about that winner over the weekend?
You run out of words to use to describe Martina Navratilova. She's 46 years old. She retired from singles several years ago, of course. She came back a year ago to play almost strictly doubles, mixed doubles and women's doubles, and she won her 57th Grand Slam title. That's five short of Margaret Court's all-time record over the weekend with Leander Paes. Who knows? She may still be winning doubles titles when she's 50 years old, and we'll still be talking about her. She is a remarkable athlete and a remarkable person.
Thank you, John.
Goodbye, Bob.
The comments of John Feinstein, author of The Punch, One Night, Two Lives, and The Fight That Changed Basketball Forever.